how do we know when something is a miracle? Okay, good question. How do we know when something is a miracle? Now, maybe before that, we might say, well, the question itself might be a little presumptuous, right? Because it presumes that there's actually miracles out here that we could see and identify. And so I think maybe we have to ask the question first, are there miracles before we ask, are we able to identify them, or how do we know when something is a miracle? I think a part of the reason is that there's been a delusion in the way that we think of miracles, because kind of everything nowadays is called a miracle, isn't it? If your sports team is an underdog and they beat the favorite, it's a miracle, right? When a baby's born, it's a miracle, people say. Even, let's say, someone has cancer, and the doctors say you have a 5% chance to live if you take these medicines. We'll see what happens. And they end up, beating cancer and becoming cancer-free. What do people say? It's a miracle. Now, in a very loose sense of the word, perhaps it's not overly inappropriate to use it that way, because the word for miracle essentially means to wonder. And so anything that causes us to wonder, anything that we see as wonderful, in a very loose sense, we might call it a miracle. But we have to ask, biblically speaking and narrowly speaking, are we to expect miracles? Right? How can we tell if something is a miracle? And so we first want to define then what a miracle is. And so we'll look to three people to give us a definition. So we're not just looking at one person, but three here. The first is R.C. Sproul. When he defines a miracle, he says this: a miracle, properly speaking, is an extraordinary work performed by the immediate power of God in the external perceivable world, which is an act against nature that only God can do. Okay? So that's what R.C. Sproul says a miracle is. But what do others say? Do they agree? Well, William Perkins, he defines a miracle as this. He says it's a rare work done by the power of God simply, either above or against the power of nature. Okay. Lastly, Charles Hodge, what does he say a miracle is? He says an event in the external world brought about by the immediate efficacy or simple volition of God. Okay. So what that tells us immediately is that, right, miracles, first of all, are something that can only be performed by God. Right? Miracles can only be performed by God. They are not something that creatures are able to perform. Men nor angels, which means that the devil cannot do miracles either. That's why the devil's works, even though they look like miracles sometimes, are called what? Lying signs and wonders, right? The word wonder or miracle, right? They're lying signs and lying wonders or lying miracles. So what are miracles then properly? Well, we can think of many in the Bible, can't we? How about parting of the Red Sea? God divides the Red Sea and causes it to stand like a wall, and makes the ground beneath dry so that the Israelites can walk through it, right? That's not something that just the wind blowing will cause, that nature itself will cause. That's something that God, by His own power, had to do Himself. That's what a miracle is. Right? A miracle is the feeding of the 5,000 from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Right? That's a miracle. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish can barely feed, a family of 5, let alone 5,000. But that's what God is able to do. He is able to perform miracles, right? Work above and even against nature. Think of some other miracles. How about Daniel's 3 friends being placed into the fiery furnace? Right? What happens if someone gets put into a fiery furnace? If the furnace is on and it's working and you're put in there, you're going to melt away, right? You're going to disintegrate. You're going to burn up in there. Well, Daniel's three friends didn't. Why? Well, because a miracle occurred that day, right? God, by His own immediate power, caused them to not be burned up, when by nature they would have been. Even Daniel in the lion's den. We can think of Lazarus, right, being raised from the dead. All of these things are what miracles are. And so this is a work then. Miracles are a work only proper to God. And you might say, well, what about the prophets? Or what about the apostles? Well, whose power performed the miracles? Right? That's the question. It was God's. Right? It was God performing the miracle through them. Even think of this. This is what William Perkins says of Christ. When Christ performed miracles, he says this: the work itself, being by nature and substance miraculous, considering it was above or against the order of natural causes, did not proceed from Christ as man, but from Him as God. Even though from the view of men it was performed in His manhood, to the effecting whereof both the Godhead and the manhood of Christ concurred by their several and distinct actions, right? The manhood uttered the voice, right, to Lazarus to be raised. But it was the Godhead of Christ that fetched His soul from heaven and put it into His body and gave life and power to Lazarus to hear the voice, to rise and to come forth. Okay? So miracles are something performed only by God. Now, R.C. Sproul, when he answers the question, also gives a few lines of evidence for why he doesn't think that they can be performed today. He says a couple things. First, despite all claims to the contrary, in this narrow sense, we don't see them happening today anymore, do we? I mean, if someone was able to perform miracles, then someone ought to just go to the hospitals, right? And go touch all of the cancer patients and make them whole. And everyone who has loss of limb, go speak a word over them and make them whole. Those who are blind, spit on their hands and put in their eyes and make them see. But no one's doing that, are they? People aren't doing that. Because, again, that's a power that is given to God alone. The next question, though, we might ask, and that R.C. Sproul brings up, is we have to ask, well, what was the purpose of them to begin with? Right? What was the purpose of miracles? Because if we understand what their purpose was, and that purpose is no longer necessary, no longer needed, then we would see why neither are miracles as well. He says this, Scripture's presentation of the purpose of miracles indicates they are not occurring today. He says that miracles were given to confirm that the message of the gospel was from God. In other words, miracles in the narrow sense are granted by the Lord to demonstrate that a messenger has been sent by Him and with His word. Special revelation has now ceased. The foundation of the apostles and prophets for the church has been laid. And once the foundation has been laid, there's no more foundation to lay. And so, since the purpose of the miracles is over, right, to confirm that this person is a messenger from God, bringing God's word, you are to believe it because they are from God, and we'll show you that we're from God by these miracles that we do, since that is no longer necessary, since we have our Bible here, incomplete and full, nothing to be added to it, well then the purpose for the miracles themselves are done away with as well, and so they are not necessary for that reason either. He even asked this question, if we were to see genuine miracles today, we would have to receive the miracle worker's words as being from the Creator. Otherwise, the miracles would not be serving the purpose that God has for them. Right? What he's saying is, if someone's going to be performing miracles, then whatever they're saying as they perform them, you have to believe as well. And so that's another reason why we aren't to look to miracles occurring and happening today. So the question, are miracles happening today? Should we be looking for miracles or expecting miracles in the narrow sense of the word? Right? According to the definition here, Right? A rare work done by God, by the power of God, simply, either above or against the power of nature. The answer is then no. Right? No. Now, that's not to say, though, as we wrap this one up, that God is not doing wonderful things today. That God is not hearing the prayers of His people and answering them. But how is He doing that, though, today? Right? Ordinarily, He's doing it now through secondary causes. Our confession in chapter 5, paragraph 3, speaks about it. Chapter 5, paragraph 3, on the providence of God. God, in His ordinary providence, maketh use of means. Right? That's how now God works in the world, through means or through secondary causes. Yet is free to work without, above, or against them, right, at His pleasure. And so, is God kind of bound from not performing miracles? No, right? God is most free. He can perform them if He please, but do we have any reason to expect that He is? Has He told us in His Word that He will? Well, no, I don't think that there is reason to expect those things, because the purpose for them is over, and so I think also our expectation to see them ought to end as well.